All right, praise the Lord, folks. For our final hymn tonight, let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand for our final hymn. Open up to hymn number 198. Really love the words of Charles Wesley, great hymn, "O for a Thousand Tongues." We'll sing all four. Great, great hymn of the faith. A lot of the old-time preachers, great ones, wrote some great hymns as well as sermons. And Charles Wesley, of course, was one of them. Sorry, God. That's my fault. That's my fault right there. Very good. Yes!
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim to spread all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that calms my fears, that bids my sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, it is life and health and peace.
Listen now.
He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the
people, please be seated. What a great hymn there, and great words. Those words are powerful, I tell you. So good to be saved tonight. Know that we're on our way to heaven with all this chaos going on in the world that we were talking about before we started service tonight. The world's just getting darker and darker out there. But it's so good to know that we are forgiven, we are saved, we are redeemed. Speaking of being redeemed, open up to the book of Ruth. Back in our Wednesday night studies on the book of Ruth, tonight we're going to finish up chapter 2. And I've titled my sermon tonight in chapter 2, Ruth's Success. Ruth's Success in Gleaning. Look with me here in Ruth chapter 2. We're going to pick up the context in verse 13. And remember last time we left off at verse 12. Which says, "The Lord recompense thy work, Ruth, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And Ruth, we know, is a type of the bride of Christ, a Gentile who came to the living God of Israel and was redeemed. Amen? And she became a member of the family of God, and she came to trust in the Lord God of Israel. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. And left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even amongst the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said also unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Well, Father, how we thank you for this most incredible passage in the book of Ruth tonight. And Lord, we're so thankful for the knowledge of God. Lord, the Word of God, it contains so much spiritual truth for us to glean, speaking of gleaning. And Lord, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit within that enables us to see spiritual truths from thy Word. Lord, before we got saved, this book was dead to us and we were dead to it. It made no sense. We cared not for it. But we've grown to love your word, Lord, since you've given us of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, since you've redeemed us, our great Boaz, we love thy word. We ask you to bless it to us tonight, Lord, and show us some great truths from this passage. Lord, that we may take some of them and apply them to our personal daily lives, that we might be better servants for thee. We're so thankful, Lord, for this dispensation of grace. We're so thankful, Lord, that it is of grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. How we love you for that grace, Lord. Grace that you showed Ruth the Moabitess. Bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, folks, as we come to verse 13 of chapter 2 tonight, Ruth went out to glean in the field with nothing at all. Okay? She had nothing. But as we'll see here soon, she came back full. She was filled with plenty of provision and beaming with joy because of the blessings of Boaz. So much so that Naomi takes notice of her success. Look at verse 19 again. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought was Boaz. Naomi noticed how much sheaves of barley and wheat that Ruth brought home. She took notice of it. Amen. Now, folks, listen. People are going to see the blessing of God upon your life. They're going to say, where did you get these blessings? Whence cometh these blessings on thee? Where have you gleaned? Beloved, the secret of her success, listen carefully, laid squarely in five things. Five secret things to the world, but not to the believer. The first is this. The first secret of her success was that she had been with one who understood her need. Look with me at verse 13. Verse 13, we read, Then she, Ruth, said to Boaz, Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me. And that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Yeah, Gentiles have a different race than Jews. We're not like the Jews. But we belong to Boaz. Amen? Now, notice here, beloved, that Boaz does not send her away. Boaz does not reprove her. But Boaz reassures her that he knew all about her need, and he was going to take care of that need. Here is the great blessing of salvation, beloved. that our Master knows our every need. And he is able to supply them all. Why? Because he's God. You know that Boaz was the richest man of the East at this time? Boaz owned the cattle on the hills. I mean, he owned it all. And Boaz said, don't you worry. I know what you need and I'm going to supply that. That's how God is with us. He supplies our needs. I'm so thankful for that. He gave me an Uber job. I can make money driving a car. I mean, it's amazing what God can do if we only allow him to supply our needs. Matthew 6. Hold your place in Ruth. Flip over to the New Testament quickly. How many of you knows tonight that God wants to supply our every need? But sometimes we don't let him. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave some great spiritual truths for the body of Christ, as well as kingdom laws for the Jews during the millennium. Look with me in Matthew 6, and we'll see one of them here. Matthew 6, speaking to his disciples, Jesus says in verse 31, it hath been said, chapter 6 used to be in my Bible. Chapter 6, verse 31, Bob. And therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what? Need of all these things. He knows your needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, no worry for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says, your heavenly Father, who I make your Father, knows every need you have. And he's able to provide every single one through me. Jesus said, through me. Amen. Now, folks, that is so good to know that Ruth's first secret to her success was the fact that she spent time with the very one who knew her needs, Boaz. Don't you know that Naomi had a powwow with her nephew Boaz? Don't you know she told him how Ruth had forsaken the idolatry of Moab, and she repented of her sin, and she trusted in the Lord God of Israel, and she became a proselyte to Judaism, and she was now a true believer. Don't you know she told him? Boaz knew all about her. And earlier in the chapter, we see Boaz inquiring on his servants about Ruth. He said, tell me all about this gal. I want to know more about her. And they did. They informed him. He knew her need, and he was able to supply it. I'm so glad we've got a Boaz that can supply our need. But secret number two, another secret to her success, is that she had been with one who was not ashamed to own her publicly. Look with me in verse 14, beloved. Verse 14 we read, and Boaz said unto her, Ruth, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he, Boaz, reached her parched corn. He handed her some good-tasting corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. She was satisfied, and she left. Now, folks, the picture here in verse 14 is that Boaz, because Ruth had become one of his servants, was no longer ashamed to own her as his servant. He wanted everyone at the mealtime, all, you know, 100 or something of his servants at the mealtime to see Ruth and see that she's now one of the clan. So he stands up and he hands Ruth a beautiful piece of corn, a delicious piece of corn to eat. He's owning her publicly. Don't you know Jesus is proud of you? Jesus loves you and he wants to show you off before the spiritual realm. Now, folks, Ruth is here invited by Boaz to come and sit and dine at his table. I hope somebody's listening. He is not ashamed to acknowledge publicly that Ruth is now one of his own servants. Did you know that our Lord confesses our names before his Father in heaven? The Bible says he names your name before the Father in heaven and prays for us and tells him about our needs. He's not ashamed to acknowledge that we belong to him. Did you hear what I said? Jesus Christ, our Boaz, is not ashamed to own us before the devil and the spirit world. He says, that one belongs to me. You can't have him. He's mine. He's redeemed by my blood. Hebrews chapter 2. Hold your place again in Ruth. Hebrews chapter 2, a fascinating passage concerning the Lord not being ashamed of you or me. Lord knows he should be in some cases, but he's not because he washed us in his blood. Oh, this is so good. Hebrews chapter 2. Don't miss this, folks. You're going to love this. Hebrews chapter 2. Look with me at verse 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Thou, this is Hebrews 2, verse 8. Thou, Father, hast put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus' feet. For in that he, the Father, put all in subjection under him, the Son, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Why? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things. It means it was fit for him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things. And bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect. That's glorified. Through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, Jesus Christ, and they who are sanctified, Christians, are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them, you and me, brethren. Brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Jesus Christ says to the universe, I and the children which God, my Father, has given me are one. Anybody want to argue with me about it? I don't think so. He's Jesus Christ. When he says, he belongs to me, she belongs to me, you best not come against him. I am so glad that Boaz, back in our text, was not ashamed to own Ruth publicly. Amen? And it goes the other way. Let me take a flip side of that coin. Folks, we need not be ashamed of Jesus before others in the world. Amen? We need to proclaim him as our glorious Lord and Savior. Thirdly tonight, there was a third secret to her success. Thirdly, was that she had been with one who planned for her success. I hope somebody's listening. She had been with one who planned for her success. Look at verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even amongst the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them. Why, Boaz? That she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after that she was sufficed. Now, folks, I want you to get the picture here in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Because somebody planned for Ruth to succeed. Oh, I hope you're getting this. Jesus Christ has planned, beloved, for you to succeed in his service. Listen, Boaz didn't want Ruth to fail. Ruth was working in his own harvest field. He wanted her to succeed. And you know what he did? He planned her success. He had a powwow with the servants. And he said, here's what we're going to do, guys, to make sure that Ruth is successful. Do you know that Jesus Christ has done everything possible for you and I to be successful in serving him? Everything. It's all in his hands. And he wants you to be successful because we're laboring in his field. It's his field, not mine, right? Now, Boaz had his eye over all the field, right? And all were ready to obey his orders. So Boaz has his servants drop some handfuls on purpose for Ruth to glean. Oh, I love that. You ever just win a soul? And you're like, where did that come from? This out of nowhere, this person comes, and you just reap that soul to Jesus Christ. They get saved. You lead them to the Lord. You show them verses of the Bible, and they get saved. Where'd that come from? Handfuls on purpose. The Lord prepared that soul so that Ruth would come along and reap it. Oh, folks, listen carefully. Boaz planned Ruth's success, and so too does our Boaz plan for each of our successes in our Christian lives. He does. Why? He doesn't want us to fail. And he can ensure victorious success in our lives because he's God. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold your place again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I am so glad that I've got a Redeemer who is above all, who plans for my success. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, don't miss these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look with me at verse 4. Paul writes concerning the believers at Corinth, I thank my God always on your behalf. Why, Paul? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That. Now, by the way, folks, this is one of those great four-verse sentences of the Bible. There's no period until the end of verse 8. But look at it. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that, why was the grace of God given you through Jesus Christ? That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul just said to the church of Corinth? He said, Jesus Christ has planned for your success unto eternity future. That's what he said. He said, you're not only going to be successful in this life, but you're going to be successful in all of eternity future. Why? Because it says in verse 8 that he, Jesus Christ, shall confirm you unto the end. That's the end of your life on earth. And that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the end comes and we're in heaven with him. Amen? So folks, I'm so glad that like Ruth, you and I have a kinsman redeemer, a great capital B Boaz that plans our success. And is able to bring that to fruition. Fourthly, there was another secret that she had to her success. Fourthly, that is that she had been with a near kinsman. She had been with a near kinsman without knowing it. Look at verse 19. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, Naomi didn't know it was Boaz, and Ruth didn't know Boaz was Naomi's kin. Look at verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi's still alive. Elimelech, her husband, was dead, but they were his kin. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. I hope somebody's getting this, because Naomi says, Ruth, I've got great news for you. You're related to that Boaz. He's our kinfolk. He's my nephew. He's a part of the family, physically. Ruth knew none of this, right? Ruth didn't understand this. Now, here we see that Ruth had spent time with a very near kinsman without knowing it. Ruth did not know of her near relationship to Boaz through marriage, but he did. Boaz knew it because Naomi told him, right? Now, this near kinsman, by law, had the legal right to either avenge or redeem her from poverty. I hope somebody's listening. Our kinsman redeemer came 2,000 years ago in order to have the legal right to redeem you from your spiritual poverty. Folks, the Bible couldn't be any clearer than they make it in the book of Ruth. I mean, the Holy Spirit has painted a portrait here that is so crystal clear. Once you see who each person in the book represents or typifies, the typology of Scripture, and then you see the whole story put together, it is clear as a bell. This near kinsman represents our near kinsman. Now listen to me. Not any person could have redeemed Ruth and Naomi. It took someone who had to be related to them in the flesh. That's why Moses, lambs and rams and blood sacrifices couldn't redeem us. It has to be one of the same flesh to redeem, according to the laws of redemption. Now, go with me to Hebrews 2 again. And remember what I said. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago in order to become eligible to be a kinsman redeemer. Okay? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 2 again. You're going to see it here. There's some verses we didn't read in Hebrews chapter 2. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Same what? Flesh and blood. Why? So that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Listen to me. In order for Jesus Christ to conquer Satan for you, he had to become one of us. Because we weren't strong enough. He became one of us to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. Look at it. 14. That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And, not done. And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For, verily, truly, he took not on him the nature of angels. Folks, there's no redemption for fallen angels. Why? They have no kinsman redeemer. You see it? But he took on him the seed, physically, of Abraham, the first Jew. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, flesh and blood, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He had to become a near kinsman to do it. Oh, folks, people wonder about the incarnation. They say, God wouldn't become a human being. Come on, man. Get off the... What kind of drugs are you on? I'll tell you what. I'm on this Bible right here. And this Bible tells me that my Maker became one of us in order to provide redemption for us, Ruth. Oh, this is so good. Now, there's a fifth secret to Ruth's success in gleaning. And that is this. She had been with one who gave her life great purpose. Listen carefully, and look with me back in our text at Ruth chapter 2, verse 21. Don't miss this. She had spent time with one who gave her life great purpose. 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he, Boaz, said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now, what is Boaz giving Ruth in verse 21? It begins with an I. Instructions. That's right, Ellie. He's giving her instructions. Don't you know when you get saved and you begin to work in Boaz's harvest field that he gives you specific instructions to follow? Look at it. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that you do what he said, that they meet thee not in any other field. She says, don't go to a strange field. Don't serve a strange master is what she's saying there. So she, look at verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz, as she was commanded, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, Here's what I want you to see in closing tonight, beloved. Indeed, Ruth now finds herself laboring for the master, Boaz, in his field, as he personally instructed her to do, right? This action of Ruth gave true purpose and meaning into her life. I hope you're listening. Before she came to Israel, she had no purpose. She worshipped Chemosh, the pagan demon god of Moab. Now she's serving the living God, creator of heaven and earth, and her life has purpose. Folks, listen to me. Your life won't be worth living if it doesn't have meaning and purpose in God. He is the one that makes our lives worth living. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is the one that makes our life joyful and that gives us peace. He's our Boaz. And when he says, go into my field and labor, we'll do it joyfully. And we'll come home weeping, bringing our sheaves with us. Our master gives to us the same instructions that he gave to Ruth here in verse 21. And that is to go and glean and reap in the fields of my harvest. Go to Psalm 145. I want to finish up here. Look at these words in Psalms 145. I am so glad that Ruth's life finally had true purpose and meaning. Amen? That means when she got up in the morning, she was excited to go to work for Boaz. She loved him. You know you'll love Boaz the more you work for him? Oh, yeah. In Psalms 145, look at this psalm. Incredible stuff here. Through David's pen, a psalm of praise. Listen to what he says. And let me ask you if you think David's life had meaning and purpose. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. All thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. But all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. David says, my life has such meaning and purpose because of my God. Let us praise his name together, beloved. He's so wonderful, and I'm so thankful tonight that we can preach on Ruth and the Redeemer Boaz, and we can make known his mighty acts to the sons of men. In closing, let me give you this. Notice tonight in these verses in Ruth chapter 2, in closing verses, that Ruth went home, and she told her friend Naomi what great things Boaz had done for her, and what great things he had promised her. And truly, all those who value the grace and fellowship of Jesus Christ will be faithful in telling others what his grace has done for them. Let us imitate Ruth in declaring the name of our great master. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for Ruth's great success. Lord, there's one thing I see in this passage. Ruth was not successful by her own merit or desert. Lord, she was not successful by her own effort or works. Lord, she was only successful because of the grace of Boaz, who planned and caused her success to come. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for Ruth chapter 2. And we're thankful, Lord, for the lessons we can learn from this passage. We're thankful, Lord, that we can be laborers in your field as Ruth was. We're thankful that we can find success in the harvest field as Ruth was. And we're thankful that we can spend time with Boaz as Ruth did. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the book of Ruth. It's just so good as we explore verse by verse, chapter by chapter, this wonderful book of Scripture. We're so grateful for the Word of God tonight. And Lord, we're so thankful that you have preserved it perfectly in the King James Bible. We love you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals at this time for a closing hymn. Ruth's great success. Boy, oh boy. I'm so glad that we too can have that same success. Let's stand for our invitation, and let's open to 164, a very fitting hymn to close with tonight, because this is what it's all about, and we never need to forget that it's all grace. In 164, John Newton's Amazing Grace, we'll sing all four. Piano sounds good tonight. Love it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind,
sound pretty good there too. Father, thank you so much for a good Wednesday night meeting. And Lord, we just thank you so much for keeping the church doors open, Lord. And thank you for being our great Boaz. Thank you, Lord, for that one point tonight, that Boaz was one of the few, one of the only ones that was eligible to redeem Ruth. Lord, I'm so thankful that you put yourself into a position to be an eligible redeemer for mankind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for that great redemption that you've provided. And thank you, Lord, that like Boaz, you're able to supply our every need. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight and we thank you for giving us insight into the book and these spiritual truths. We ask you to be with us throughout this week. Bring us back Sunday for services. And Lord, may you be glorified in each of our lives as you were in the life of Ruth. And Lord, we're thankful that she represents us gleaning in those fields. Lord, bless us as we're dismissed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.